From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's December 24th, 2025. On today's show, Washington Governor Bob Ferguson says he'd support taxing the earnings of millionaires, but he didn't include the idea or any other new revenue in his budget plan released yesterday. Plus, RVs could get booted off Sandpoint City Beach at the request of a luxury hotel going in next door. And Rene Diaz brings us the story of one group hosting weekly game nights to help build community among North Central Washington veterans in the absence of a local Veterans Affairs Center. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. Washington Governor Bob Ferguson has joined fellow Democrats calling for an income tax on millionaires. KUOW's Scott Greenstone has more.
Washington hasn't had an income tax for nearly a century. Efforts to change that have died at the ballot box, but Ferguson says it's time.
To make our tax system more fair, millionaires should contribute more towards our shared prosperity.
Democratic leaders in the legislature want nearly 10% taxes on incomes over $1 million annually. Ferguson says he will work with them to pass that proposal next year, but expects challenges in court and at the ballot box. Washington State Republican Party Chairman Jim Walsh called the idea a joke and patently unconstitutional. I'm Scott Greenstone in Seattle.
Alongside endorsing an income tax for millionaires, Ferguson laid out his supplemental budget proposal for Washington. He says that because any new tax on the earnings of the ultra-wealthy won't bring in revenue for at least another 3 years, the idea isn't included in his spending plan for the next biennium. Washington continues to face a multi-billion dollar budget shortage, but Ferguson's proposal aligns with his pledge not to raise taxes. Instead, it would slash $800 million in spending, pull $1 billion from the state's reserves, and draw $570 million from the money raised by Washington's carbon auctions for major polluters. That last idea is drawing backlash from environmental groups because Ferguson's plan puts much of that money toward backfilling the working families tax credit. Leah Misick with Climate Solutions said in a statement the proposal misses the mark, saying the money should go to clean energy programs. The governor's plan would also cut tax breaks for data centers, something Republican budget writer and state senator Chris Gildin criticized. Ferguson says his plan addresses rising costs, falling revenue, and economic chaos caused by the Trump administration, but he admits it's just the first step in a conversation with state legislators. The Medical Lake School District is getting federal money to train more school psychologists. The U.S. Department of Education has pledged about $3.5 million in grants to the district over the next 4 years. That will allow Medical Lake to pay University of Washington graduate students to work at the district instead of the unpaid interns it's been relying on for counseling services. Medical Lake Superintendent Kim Hedrick says two of the four positions paid for by the grant will be based in her district, and two will be placed at high-need rural schools. That way, Hedrick says, rural districts also get psychologists who can
support students, families, staff, and really be as a preventative model versus, you know, a reaction model.
The interns will work for a year and become certified school psychologists. Once they graduate, they'll be required to work for 2 years in schools around northeastern Washington. After years under construction, multiple high-speed internet projects in northeast Washington have reached completion. SPR's rural reporter and Murrow News fellow Monica Carrillo-Casas has more.
Infrastructure Program Manager Chelsea Wickersham says broadband projects in Okanagan and Ferry County have been completed, connecting nearly 3,000 people combined to the internet.
When we're talking about smaller communities, there's generally not a huge disposable income in a lot of those areas, right? And so coming in with broadband that's affordable for those communities is key.
This digital infrastructure is part of the Washington State Broadband Office's estimated $4 million grant to Ziply for its Connecting Rural Counties project. Wickersham says another broadband expansion effort from the Declaration Networks Group is close to finishing in northern Stevens County. She says it should be done by fall of next year. I'm Monica Carrillo Casas, reporting.
RVs could be making way for a luxury hotel on Sandpoint's City Beach. As SPR's Eliza Billingham reports, some residents are trying to find other options.
On a Saturday morning in December, Sandpoint residents crowded into a community room to draw pictures. They were brainstorming what the RV park near City Beach could be instead. An event space? A playground? A food truck court? Most ended up just wanting it to be a nicer RV park, but that's the option that Avril Hospitality is trying to take off the table. It's a boutique hotel company out of Whitefish, Montana, that now owns the former Edgewater property just north of City Beach. Founder Brian Avril and his team plan to turn it into Sandpoint Lakeside Resort by summer 2027. That is, if there's no RV park right next to it.
Think about your favorite resort, and is there an RV park right next to your favorite resort? The answer is probably no.
Avril originally wrote a letter saying his project wouldn't pencil if the RV park stayed. Last month, he backtracked a little, saying he wasn't sure what would happen if the city didn't get rid of it. The RV park currently makes the city about $75,000 a year. Avril says his company is willing to put funds towards a different option that brings in more money if residents can figure out what that would be. City planners are currently tabulating the results of the workshop and a survey sent to community members, which has already received close to 1,000 responses. They will likely bring those recommendations to Sandpoint City Council in January. I'm Eliza Billingham, reporting.
After two different incidents of someone shooting and killing bighorn sheep, police from both Idaho's Department of Fish and Game and the Washington Fish and Wildlife Department are looking for information from the public. The first incident happened in late November east of Riggins in Idaho County. The second happened about a week ago outside Asotin. Non-governmental conservation groups are also offering monetary rewards for information about the poaching. Illegally killing a bighorn sheep in Washington is punishable by up to a year in jail and a $5,000 fine, along with losing hunting privileges for up to 2 years. Environmental advocates say Washington needs to close a loophole in its plastic bag ban. In 2020, state lawmakers prohibited single-use thin plastic shopping bags, but said stores could offer thicker reusable plastic bags for a fee. Turns out, the thick plastics have become more widely used than paper bags, which are also offered. A new proposal would keep paper bags and possibly retain a compostable choice, but not the thick plastic. Plastic bag manufacturers say a ban would disregard the increases in recycled material in their bags and would eliminate consumer choice. Wenatchee veterans don't have a local Veterans Affairs Center. That's left veterans in North Central Washington struggling to access resources. Now, one group is hosting a weekly game night to help build community among veterans. Northwest Public Broadcasting's Renee Diaz has more. And a quick heads up, this story mentions mental health challenges.
On a weeknight inside a card shop in Wenatchee, tables are set up for a game with mythical beasts, spells, and creatures. It's for a game known as Magic the Gathering. Zach Knight, a Marine veteran, and Kevin Coleman, a U.S. Army veteran, sit at Core Cards and Collectibles. They meet here every Tuesday and battle it out with a deck of cards. As they set up the night's game, they explain how it all works.
A fantasy card game. You can build whatever kind of deck you want to build. You can build it off demons or angels or dragons. And
you take out the other person's life total.
It's all luck-based, just like a casino. But you get to design how the deck works.
Combat in the game is low stakes by design. You choose your attackers, your blockers, and weigh the risks. This group is known as Veterans the Gathering. Coleman says it's a safe place for him.
It's like a big brotherhood. We crack jokes on each other and make each other feel better. And if any of us are down, we've got any one of them to talk with.
Paul Stayback, Coleman's therapist, organized the weekly gathering in Wenatchee. Stayback is a chapter president of Combat Veterans International, a nonprofit that provides services and organizes the games. He used to work at Central Washington Veterans Counseling, but with uncertainty about federal and state funding, his contract was terminated.
Veterans Day was my last day providing mental health services in Wenatchee. I knew that was going away. I was trying to find another outlet for them.
But Coleman says it's challenging to find help. He says he lost several of his friends to suicide.
What makes it important is so we could keep the heroes, my brothers and sisters, alive.
Stayback says negative stereotypes about veterans are also challenging.
When we have things like happened with Decker at Leavenworth, that stokes fear into people because Hollywood highlights, you know, violent behavior, and it does create fear and uncertainty.
Travis Decker was wanted in connection with the killing of his three daughters this summer. He was found dead. Decker was a veteran, and that detail saw a lot of coverage.
When there's already an absolute bias in society about veterans, especially with PTSD, with the potential for being violent, and then you throw in this horrifically violent tragedy that just by mentioning what groups they belong to associates others with it, that's challenging. My clients really struggled.
This space gives them the opportunity to talk with people who can understand the issues veterans face.
Having that space where they can come together, not have to worry about sounding too aggressive, could be off-putting for somebody who hasn't experienced it. And being able to be their authentic selves within this group is really important.
Katie McNamara works at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. She specializes in treating individuals with job-related trauma, like veterans. McNamara says that while games like Magic can't be replaced for therapy, games like these can be helpful because
people are in their prefrontal cortex, not their fight or flight, and they are calmly interacting with fictional characters. They're able to just relax into safety.
The concept of Veterans a Gathering is spreading. Other card shops in Washington started their own versions. I'm Renee Diaz reporting.
Let's get into this game.
If you or someone you know is struggling, support is available by calling or texting the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988. Renee Diaz reports for Northwest Public Broadcasting and the Wenatchee World as a Murrow News Fellow. SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting was contributed by Scott Greenstone, Doug Nadvornik, Eliza Billingham, Monica Carrillo Casas, Renee Diaz, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also the host and producer. We won't be in your feed again until next Monday, so Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and thanks for listening. It's SPR.